When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
We are coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, I'm Will Friedle.
I'm Chrissy Carlson Romano.
And welcome to I Hear Voices.
It's a podcast that we're also filming on my YouTube channel, and it's going to be every week where we're interviewing the most iconic voiceover actors of all time.
That's right. We're going to be able to put some of the names with the faces and the faces with the voices of all the people that you grew up watching from some of the most iconic animated characters in the history of television and film.
Who's our guest today?
Our guest today, we are starting big, folks. We are starting really, really big. Let's say Bugs Bunny. Let's say Daffy Duck. Let's say
Tweety Bird.
Let's say Marvin the Martian.
Let's say G.I. Joe.
Let's say G.I. Joe. Let's say Space Jam.
There's too many to count.
We can't.
Eric Bauza is here. Let's get into it.
I hear voices.
You know who we're here with? We're here with Eric Bauza.
Yeah, I do.
Are we?
Yeah.
Okay, and so good. do you, by the way.
You play everyone.
Well, you know, I wouldn't say that. I am lucky to just, at the before times, to leave the house.
Yes, we call it BCT here.
BCT.
Before COVID time.
BCT. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say everyone, because there's so many roles for everyone.
Yes, but you play most of them, which is the joy of it. This is the wonderfulness.
Well, I mean, at least the ones that I like to say helped raise me as a child.
Which is good. Yeah, which is incredible. Well, first of all, we'll get into some of your credits here. I'd read them all, but we've only got an hour.
Yeah.
Reading Eric Bauza's credits is like reading, you know, Jay Leno's car list. It's like there should be four, but there's 800.
Which, by the way, you could catch him every Tuesdays eating a chicken sandwich at Chick-fil-A in Burbank.
Really?
I learned this.
Every single Tuesday?
Well, actually, sad story, happy story. An uncle of mine passed away recently.
Oh, that is sad.
That's the sad part.
Okay.
The good part is that he was a hoarder just like me. And when he left, he left all of his things behind, including this old junker of a car, which was a 1968 Pontiac GTO with the top down, that actually transported him from Toronto, Ontario, Canada in the late 60s, early 70s to LA. And he's the very same uncle that told me that I should move here to work in voiceover.
So special guy.
So when he passed away, you know, it wasn't like it was left for anyone.
Right.
It was just left. It was just left behind.
Wow.
Yeah. And I talked to my other uncle who lives very far away in a land called Orange County. And
so
I was
far.
Like, does anyone want? Yeah, you need a passport and an extra pair of underwear.
I just came from there.
Well, that's where
it was
the Magic Kingdom
warmer.
Is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's magic. It's an entirely, you get the fake passport.
Yes.
The genie passport. Pass, they call it now.
The genie pass?
Exactly. It's called a genie. No more fast passes. It's called a genie pass.
Wow. You would think they'd go with Lightning McQueen pass.
You would think. Genius.
You know?
One of the roles that you didn't play.
You know.
Or do you on the show?
Not yet.
You know, I know this is the way of the voiceover artist is we start five conversations at the same time.
I know, exactly. The car, the GTO.
I'll go back in order. So the car, I asked my other uncle, is anyone, what are we doing with this thing? And they, he pretty much said, it's all yours if you want, you know, this thing. It was not in pieces, but it was definitely, it is in
some
pieces
love. As we said, as a car person, you say it needs some love.
Yes.
It needs some love.
It was a fixer-upper.
Okay. Oh, yeah. But talking about Disney, I think you're born on one side of the fence, the Disney side or the Warner Brothers side.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I feel like I'm talking to two Disney kids quite
no,
possibly.
No, actually, I was a very big Looney Tunes.
Were you?
Me too,
I have to say, me too.
Wow. My butt was parked in front of the TV for hours and I was watching Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
And then it became like more of the Ren and Stimpy, you know.
Bugs Bunny, Woody Nickelodeon Woodpecker. Kind of.
Woody Woodpecker was my jam growing up.
Wow.
Yeah, until I got a little older and found G.I. Joe, which you've done
which
both of those.
Which he's also done.
But until I found G.I. Joe at like 7 or 8, Woody Woodpecker was my thing.
That was it.
Loved Woody Woodpecker, yeah.
I didn't know that.
He was a troublemaker. Loved Woody Woodpecker.
Yeah, and I was kind of like, is he a Looney Tune? Is he a Hanna-Barbera character? I couldn't tell. He was his own little thing. And not even like... like Jay Ward cartoons, like Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Sure.
Right.
They kind of look like,
I like
Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah.
Very limited style.
Yeah.
But Woody kind of was in that era of like full animation until like it hit the 90s and then it was a little bit more limited. And
yeah.
Now it's like very rare that you would get like full animation coming from Woody, unless Woody Woodpecker's a feature film. So.
When you say limited, for those out there that may not be.
Yeah. So like full animation, like classic Looney Tunes where it's like, they spent like 9 months making one of those animated shorts, the 7-minute ones.
Yeah.
Right, right.
What's Opera Doc or any of like the classic ones.
Yeah.
And none of that was sent overseas. That was all done in Hollywood in Burbank.
All by hand. All
hand-drawn.
Hand.
Yeah. No CG.
Yeah, nothing.
And, you know, us modern artists look to that as reference. And I'm like, what were they looking at when they were making these cartoons? What kind of things were they?
Voices in their head. Yes. That's what they were doing. They were listening to the voices in their head.
They probably did like a lot of unfiltered tobacco smoking indoors.
Oh, yeah.
Asbestos in the ceiling. Drinking at 11 a.m.
Probably. Back in the day.
That's their inspiration.
Yeah.
Well, actually, do you have any sort of like, has anyone really brought you into how Mel sort of conceived of all of that, or what his process was?
I think we all have been a part of that process if we're talking about an original idea.
Yes.
Sure.
In that sense, yes, if there was an original cartoon show with original characters, I'm thinking about something like Uncle Grandpa, which was kind of like a very wacky, whimsical Cartoon Network type show.
Totally new.
I played a talking fanny pack named Belly Bang.
Like you do.
And I was like, I wonder what his, you know, like what a talking fanny pack would sound like. And my inspiration for that was like what I would sound like if I were a Muppet character.
Okay.
So I kind of had this weird voice that sounded like this. That he immediately became the Lisa Simpson of the show. Like, no one liked him. They're like...
Well, in all fairness, like, no one really likes fanny packs.
Right?
I like fanny packs.
They're coming back, apparently, according to my wife.
There's going
to
be a big... I see one in the back there.
They're coming back. So.
They're coming back,
that's
apparently.
That's a fanny and a half pack. That's a big
exactly.
one. You could put some VHS cassettes.
That was
there.
A big one, yes. Yeah. Yes.
But yeah... in that sense, yes, original. But as far as legacy characters, you know, I guess you kind of just want to stay as close to the original character as possible, only because so many people, especially if we're talking about Bugs, who's like 81 years old, they all know him like they know like a relative. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, you know, like
well, helped raise
grandpa.
Generations, Bugs
right.
Bunny. Helped to
right.
raise generations of kids.
Yeah.
It's, again, if you're looking at the Warner Brothers side, or you're looking at it's the equivalent of Mickey
right.
Mouse, you
yeah,
know,
Mickey
it's,
Mouse,
it's, absolutely.
You know,
it's
you look at
Disney
someone
equivalent.
Like Jim Cummings and Winnie the Pooh. Yep. It's like it's pretty insane, like how amazing some of my inspirational, you know, who I look up to, like the Billy Wests or the
sure.
Jim Cummings of the world, or you know, even someone like Tara Strong, who does Rocky now for Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Sure,
you know, she does her best voice match to June Foray.
Yeah,
but let's go into the beginning.
Well, that's the thing I wanted to talk to you about, because you didn't start as a voice actor. You started as an artist, didn't you?
I started out as a production assistant, and
okay.
then I slowly started to move away from that into like kind of production manager. I know how a photocopier works. Pretty good at that.
Nice.
Changing the Xerox cartridges. But yeah, like production assisting and then like editing. I was editing animatics and sound effects.
Had you had any schooling prior though?
Yes.
Like when your uncle told you to come down to California?
It was basically to fix and take care of his lawn.
Okay.
And then he saw that I could actually
draw. That you were
draw.
Doing voices while
he's
you were
like,
doing
what
that.
Is that, a pencil? I was like, yes. But yeah, it was because he knew that I liked to draw and that was a hobby.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're talking about like middle school, elementary school is when he first started sending me newspaper. I still have all these LA Times newspaper clippings of like how well The Little Mermaid did in the box office. You
right,
know,
right.
Like here's something that you might find interesting. And
this
I, and
could
I
be
did.
A thing. You should come down here.
Right.
So he was like your mentor.
Kind of, yeah. You know, aside from the support of my parents who were, you know, you're talking about immigrants from the Philippines that were like trying to find a better life.
Sure.
And at that time, you know, late 60s, early 70s, and I'm sure you can attest from your folks' advice, the better job was go to school, become a lawyer, become a doctor.
Yeah.
That's you know, all we got.
That's
much.
It.
Yeah.
All we need
Very
are lawyers and
parents
doctors.
That go
become
an actor.
Go into debt.
Yeah.
Have no job after the recession.
Yeah, exactly.
Fix people or sue people. That was it.
Were your parents first generation?
Yeah,
okay.
they were born and raised. I was born in Toronto. I've never been to the Philippines. If I went, I would stick out like a sore thumb, I'm sure.
So you were interested.
They're like, that guy eats. Yeah.
So you were interested in animation then? You were
yes.
watching. Do you remember watching your first Bugs Bunny cartoon or your first Looney Tunes?
And it, you know, again, 80s and 90s, right? We were exposed to some of the first waves of Looney Tunes in syndication.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like a Saturday morning thing where you're like, wow, like these are really good cartoons. And then they would be shown right next to, you know, like the 80s PLC. They call them program length commercials, which are kind of like, I mean, DuckTales was really cool because it was like comic strip based.
No, but you're talking more
G.I. Joe, the Transformers,
Mask.
which we worked on.
Yeah, He-Man, all that kind of stuff. Let's sell the toys.
Yeah, and boy, did it work.
Even Gem had a toy line. And
so
everything.
Were you, when you
Shira.
Were a kid then, Shira was great. Were you, Silverhawks, we could get into that. So when you were a kid then, were you more Bugs Bunny or were you more G.I. Joe Transformers Mask?
Yeah, it would have to be like a photo finish. It would have to be like a two-way tie because I liked it all. Like for the most part, like they didn't really have many Bugs Bunny or Looney Tunes toys.
No.
I think I had one bendable Bugs Bunny toy.
Yeah, they didn't really.
No, they had the Smurfs.
They had Smurfs.
The little solid
Hanna-Barbera.
Smurfs.
That
was like, kind of it.
The PVC kind of like.
And you'd go buy as many as you could, and you'd had like you get the Smurf Village, and somebody'd be like, "Here's Gargamel," and you'd be like, "I don't really want that one." but that's what you. But it was all the toys were all the action, awesome, G.I. Joe.
Yes.
Again, we talk about all this kind of stuff where you needed every little figure, and then you'd lose the gun in like 2 seconds. And
but yeah, I mean, I liked it all, but definitely like there was something magical to me about Bugs Bunny and Looney Tunes and just the characters. There were such solid characters, like you know, and it was such a simple setup too. I think that's what it was. It was very easy to really, I think, sink your teeth into. And that's why it's tough when you watch some of these classic characters try to expand and, you know, and again, I'm guilty. I'm part of almost all the reboots, seeing it in different variations. You know, I've been a part of Looney Tunes in a big feature film. I've been a part of Looney Tunes in a Jordan Nike shoe commercial. And I've been a part of Looney Tunes where it's a 22-minute like animated sitcom where, you know, Bugs and Daffy are roommates in a neighborhood.
So what's different?
And you're both of them, right?
Not me. That was actually Jeff Bergman.
It was? Okay.
Yeah, that was Mr. Jeff Bergman, who was like one of the first guy to... I would have to say again another. If you're a nerd like me, and you keep a Rolodex of,
don't worry.
Oh yeah,
I'm working on my nerddom though.
She's working on it.
I'm trying to become a nerd.
Between Two Nerds should be the name
between
of the show.
Nerds.
Though that's one of the cool things. One of the reasons we did this is because she's like it's the 20th anniversary of Kim Possible, and
congratulations to you guys, by the way.
And we're talking about all that, and then she's doing Big Hero 6, and then we're talking about animation, and I'm going off a nerd. She's like, you know, for all the animation I do, I don't really know much about it, and I was like, aha.
So you're like the Charlie Adler type who, like, I'm sitting there talking to Charlie Adler at a session nerding out about, like, Tiny Toons. He's like, I don't care. I just... I hang my coat up and I go, you know, and that's a great way to live.
I do care.
It's a great way to live.
I care because you're right. It is probably a great way to live. But we love to talk about nerddoms
and I will get married and buried in this Dino T-shirt.
Exactly. That, which is how I'm...
I loved nerddoms. What was that from?
Flintstones.
Yeah, the Flintstones.
I love the cave
people. Bam and Dino.
We're
I forgot about
it.
You know
We're
what
working
it was?
On it.
You know what though? Here's the thing. Okay. my childhood was kind of wrapped up in the theater. So I kind of say that I'm a theater nerd. So I didn't get a lot of exposure to, I didn't have that extra afternoon time. A lot of time it was after I came home. And I remember.
You had friends. Go ahead, say it.
No, I didn't have friends.
We did not.
No.
Our friends were on the TV.
Nope, I didn't. I think it was because I was going back and forth because I started at six. And so I was back and forth on the train a lot. So I didn't have access to TV until I got home and it was about 6 o'clock at night. And my mom went straight to the kitchen to make dinner for everybody.
And at that time.
But Looney Tunes was in syndication. Yeah, I wasn't six. I think I was more like 8, 10 years old, stuff like that. I'm 37 right now, but I'll be 38 in a couple days.
Good for you.
Yeah, I admitted it.
Young people.
I admitted it.
Young
oh, no.
people.
Oh,
have you seen my shoes?
Look so
they look
young.
Like coffins. Exactly. Like, I got one foot in the grave.
You're still younger than me, though, I think.
Maybe. Yeah, are we going to go down this road?
I think
road?
We look good.
She already
spilled
the beans.
We look good, guys.
Are we gonna?
I'm turning 43 this year.
Oh. I'm going to be 46.
Okay.
Yeah.
What in the
okay.
world? You guys look so dang young. So, why is it that guys always age in reverse?
It's
I don't think that's true.
I
look
younger
way
than you did
younger.
5 years ago.
I'm going to steal a friend of mine's joke because it was the greatest joke in the world. She always says, you know, I went to my kindergarten reunion and I was really embarrassed because I put on like 100 pounds. And I always thought that was just the greatest thing in the world because we don't nobody ages in reverse. We're all looking like that's Wendy Lieben, by the way. But we all
you don't steal jokes.
You don't. No,
you're not that guy.
No, I say who my joke.
You've
is.
Always credited.
But okay, so back to I'm sorry.
But,
we go off on tangents.
But nerddoms too. I mean, like when he's growing up, you're learning about Looney Tunes. You're being exposed to all this stuff. Then you're starting to pick up a pencil. You said, and then you're starting to draw.
That's the thing. You're a pretty phenomenal artist.
I could draw right now for you. You guys have
so
a
many
paper.
Things that are annoying about you, and that's another one of them.
But yeah, I mean, like it was
is
one of those things where it was like a little bit of the art.
What do we
just give him a post-it note and watch what's going to happen.
Oh, Elizabeth's got it.
There we go. Elizabeth does everything.
You did offer.
Oh,
Eric, you
did
offer.
I just don't also want to like damage your table.
Oh, don't worry
please
about
damage it.
Or
it.
If you have a Sharpie.
Ooh, do we
then
have
I
Sharpie?
Would need a second piece of paper. But you know what? Let's just do it like this. Let's just do it.
Watch.
Here.
So, I mean, it's like.
See, you haven't. I don't want to like lacquer. I don't
he's the
like,
guy when you're at a party and they go, hey, you know, we're going to play Pictionary. I'm like, Eric's team.
They're like, hey, the pizza hasn't arrived and the magician hasn't showed up. Hey,
oh,
Eric,
wait, here's another. Oh, here's. Is this one better? This is a little penny thing.
This is pretty good.
It's Marvin the Martian?
Yes, isn't that lovely? He's a bowling ball with a Spartan helmet on.
See?
And, oh then,
and I did that all off microphone. How unprofessional. when I am in animation mode, it's kind of like you kind of like lose all perception of time.
Marvin the Martian.
And right here, you could buy this for only $3.99.
No, we're keeping it in here
and
in studio.
The only person, we got one bidder, and it's Eric's mother.
Eric, can you sign it?
You do the voice of Marvin the Martian.
I will.
Since we're talking, as you're signing that, because we haven't really said this out loud, what the heck? Let's just start listing some stuff.
Thanks, Eric.
Okay?
Yes, Earth Creature.
Tell me if I'm right, Bugs Bunny.
That's right, Doc. What's up? I hear voices, too. Ain't I a stinker? Oh, I see you got Marvin's good side.
Daffy Duck?
Yes, I would do it, but it's not a pandemic-friendly voice. I'm so glad we're at least 6 feet away from my bill.
Tweety?
Ooh, I ta a very highly decorated table.
Marvin the Martian?
Yes, I believe we've done this one already, but for the sake of the show, Earth Creature, I'll do it again.
Woody Woodpecker?
That's it. That's all I can do. You know, already I was like, oh, my nose is going to start bleeding. That's like one of those, like,
yeah, it hurts,
I need to
right?
be facing the wall when I do this voice.
Porky Pig?
I did it for a Space Jam, but that honor usually falls upon Mr. Bob Bergen. He's,
okay.
he's one of those guys that I feel like he's turned it into an art form and has done it justice.
But you did it in a little film called Space
a little,
Jam.
It was a little independent
film that we're hoping to...
With no stars in it at
it's
all.
It's going to maybe
Zero.
Break out.
I believe it was about soccer this time,
exactly.
not basketball.
Exactly. Elmer Fudd?
I'll be very, very quiet. I'm Hutton Wabbit.
Who I think, if they ever did a live-action movie, it could be Seth Rogen.
Oh,
if,
definitely.
I'll be very, very quiet. Like, he has the laugh.
He's already got the laugh.
I'm Hutton Wabbit.
Oh, yeah, he actually could.
And I got Seth the munchies. Yeah.
You're now going to do all of Seth Rogen stuff.
If, you know.
Or John C. Reilly could be a good Elmer Fudd.
Yeah, you know.
Or
a good Wreck-It Ralph.
He was great as Wreck-It Ralph. Puss in Boots?
That is correct. I am a voice match for Antonio Banderas for Puss in Boots.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the voice match, senor? Not an ab match. No. You know, like I can't do the abs of Antonio or the bank account, but I could definitely copy the voice.
I have a question for you because we could be here all day, which I could easily do and just nerd out and be so totally happy. But my question is, every single thing you watched growing up, did you try to mimic?
I think almost every child does at some point, right? Like when you're watching.
Really. Realized I was terrible at it by eight.
No, yeah, I think that's the thing. It's like kids just they'll do voices or think that they're doing good voices and they're not because they're kids.
Yeah, right.
When they
Your son do voices?
He does, and you know what's crazy about my son is that he knows the difference between like when I'm doing it or Mel Blanc or
real. So he's got the ear already too.
Yeah, no, like. I was in the kitchen making him a little lunch, and he was just a few feet away in the living room watching Fast and the Furious Spy Racers, which is like a DreamWorks Netflix cartoon.
Okay.
And he goes, Dad, and he pauses it. He goes, is this you? And then he rewinds it, and it's this completely over-the-top German character that I was doing, and I forgot that I did the episode, and I go, yes. And I was like, oh my God, you not only do you know my voices, but also the bad ones, like the really bad acting.
Well,
like,
our kids are our greatest critics.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They really are.
Yeah. He's like, yes, that jacket does make you look bad.
Yes, the answer is yes.
Yeah. I'm like, oh God.
Thank you. Yeah,
no, that's really cool. So he really does have the ear because that's young.
He does. Eric is one of those guys when we're reading all the things, you think you're a voiceover actor and you're like, I'm pretty good at what I do. And then you sit next to Eric and you go like, and now I'm going to find something else to do.
No,
with the
here's
rest
the
of
thing
my
though.
Life.
It's like there are like the freaks that do, you know, the weird impressions, but you know, I sit there, I listen to yourself in a session, and it's like, that's just solid acting.
Oh, God, I wish
you know
that
what
were
I mean?
True. He is
and that's
really
the kind
amazing
of
at
stuff
improv,
that,
too.
Yeah, oh, my God.
I wish that were actually accurate. Very
that is,
sweet.
You're like the eternal leading man in almost everything that we play.
If only
he's my sidekick, though.
I am your sidekick. That's true. You were the lead. You were by far the lead in Kim Possible.
Which, absolutely. By the way, if there's ever, I have some really good tea for you.
Okay.
If there's a reboot of KP, Kim Possible, because you know. Acronyms.
Oh, yes, we've heard some. Some gossip.
Some grumblings.
Yes.
You want to tell them?
Well, we just, so the, we worked
with. We
don't
know if there's a.
We worked with a director who you are very familiar with, Miss Lisa Schaefer.
Yes.
Who we love to death. She is the one who cast us on Kim Possible. And we were talking about if and when there is a reboot of Kim Possible, some of the people she got on the show were just insanely amazing. And some, unfortunately, have passed. And one of those is Ricardo Montalban.
Oh, my God.
So we were like, who is going to play senior? And before we even got it out, she was like, Eric Bauza.
Yeah, oh, my God.
She did.
Well, Ricardo Montalban, again, is like one of those amazing performers that, you know, once in a lifetime. Like, I was old enough to see Fantasy Island.
Yeah, like, yeah, me
Fantasy
too.
Fantasy Island.
Yes.
And then in The Naked Gun with Leslie Nielsen.
Oh, I remember The Naked Gun movies. Those were fun.
So, yes, they said that you would be cast in. I mean, it was Ricardo Montalban, Gene Smart, Gary Cole, some of the people.
He's
going to
do all those characters. Don't worry.
Elliot Gould. Yeah, now it's just. And now Kim Possible starring.
For me, it's either me or another voiceover artist, Christian Lance, who is phenomenal. He also has a very spot on Antonio Banderas, and I believe if you know,
do you guys ever just sit around and do dueling Banderases?
Well, there was an episode dueling Banderases, the name of our band. Actually.
How great was the two of you going back and forth?
Yeah, we actually kind of did because he did a very somewhat similar voice for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the 2012 reboot.
Oh, okay.
His character's name was Fishface.
Okay. For the series, not for the...
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Yes.
For the live action?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was definitely like in the vein of an Antonio or a Mr. Montalban. And then they did another recent reimagining of Ninja Turtles where they had us play brothers. and basically just do our kind
dueling Banderas.
Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
It was kind of funny to be in the same room as him and just hearing that. It was like it's like yelling into a cave
it's
like
with
an amazing echo, yeah.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is the only
TMNT. That's what the kids call it.
Let me throw you some. Let me throw
but
you
which
some tea.
Tea are you talking about? Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
The turtle tea, guys.
The only show I watched growing up that I have never been cast in even
that,
one line.
Okay.
Ever is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That blows my mind because I'm like, you would be amazing as almost all.
Oh, absolutely.
I've come close on every single role.
Wow.
I've never
so
once been cast. Never
Not
once.
Even once as Leo,
nope.
though.
Nope.
Come on.
No, never as anyone.
He would be a great,
anyone.
I never thought about that.
Never as anyone.
Great.
I've always come close and never been able, that's same with G.I. Joe.
Really?
Two shows growing up that were my favorite.
Yeah.
And no G.I. Joe either. I loved, because G.I. Joe was the best. It was like,
and
you
it's
know,
like, it's so, I
Flint.
Mean, yeah, well, that one was like, I don't even remember the last time they did like a G.I. Joe.
Well, weren't you in, you were in Resolute, weren't you?
I was in Resolute.
Yeah. I think that was the last G.I. Joe.
They had
it?
Something after that.
Did they really? There was another
so.
One?
I believe so.
Which one was the one you did, the one that Marsden was Duke? Or was that the one after?
I think that was the one after Resolute.
Okay. Who were you in Resolute?
I was Storm Shadow, Tunnel Rat, and Destro of all people.
Can I please hear your Destro?
You know what's crazy? I did an Arthur Burghardt, who was the original Destro.
Yeah.
Like this kind of voice. But he's actually a Scottish arms dealer.
Yeah.
If you ever...
He is. That's
again,
his backstory.
If you're a nerd like me,
I am.
You'd look
I
up Destro.
You are. You guys love each
I
other.
I know all this.
So I did an Arthur Burghardt, but with a Scottish accent. So it almost sounded like a
Sean
beefy
Connery.
Sean Connery.
Yes. Sean yeah. Connery is... Oh,
Sean,
man.
If Sean Connery and Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know,
that's
had,
kind
a,
of
had
awesome.
A baby.
That's
yeah.
That's when
yeah.
anybody asked me what role I would play, I always pick Cobra Commander.
Cobra Commander, yeah.
Because I don't think I've ever played a bad guy in my life.
He would love to play a villain.
They never have to play the bad guy.
But just your own voice as Cobra Commander.
Oh, yeah, that's all right. Can we all,
he's like,
is G.I. Joe?
He sounds so nice
he's
under
such a
that
nice
mask.
Yeah. Hey, can we just maybe get Duke to lay down his arms so yeah. we can... We're trying to take over the world here, people.
Imagine like, yeah.
It's like Rick Briss.
A big meeting like with that sound coming out of that helmet is like the
okay,
nicest
so
thing.
I just told you, and I think that's pretty important, the one role I would do if I had the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any role you've never done that you want to do?
Batman.
Really?
Yeah, I've never
the
been
plot
Batman.
Thickens.
Wow.
I've never been Batman.
Now, would you be a new Batman like I was a new Batman, or would you yeah. be, do you want to be Bruce?
I well, you know, I mean, so many great questions.
He's coming for your job.
No, I mean,
he'll be better at it than me.
No,
I cast
no, no,
him
no.
over
like,
me. Are you kidding?
I would, I mean, come on, Batman Beyond. Like, I grew up watching, like, every day after school, that Warner Brothers block, for whatever reason.
It was
reason,
a pretty great block.
It was like
it?
Freakazoid, talking about Ricardo Montalban, Freakazoid, yeah. Tiny Toons, Animaniacs, Batman the Animated Series, and then Batman Beyond.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that was like, poof, it was amazing. It was I loved that show and was a huge fan.
Yes.
And I hope, and I'm like, when? I was like, come on,
well,
Warner
I
Brothers.
Can't tell you without any shadow of a doubt, I'm by far the best Terry McGinnis there's ever been.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Only one.
Yeah,
unbeatable.
Only one.
Unbeatable.
Yeah, literally the best one ever.
Yeah.
Just so you
That's
know.
That's amazing, though, if you think about it. Like, how many Batmen have there been?
There have been a lot of Batmen.
It's like...
It's weird to say that. There's been a lot of Batman.
There's a lot.
Yeah, well, this is what Bruce Timm would tell me. So Bruce Timm, who created Batman the Animated Series, created Batman Beyond, he said that the great thing about the Batman character was that, like, when the movies were really dark, the cartoons were really light.
Right.
You know, like, the Christian Bale movies came out, and it was like Batman Brave and the Bold. And when the movies were really light, like the Arnold Schwarzenegger ones, the cartoons got really dark, he said, because there always has to be a Batman for everyone.
Like a contrast.
So
there has
there's
to
always
be.
There's the dark Batman for the adults. There's got to be lighter ones for the kids. But Kevin just approached it as a straight up Shakespearean actor.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And absolutely. I've talked to him too about that, where it's just like, it's hard for me to hear anyone in that role, but also that, like, the show in its entirety, the style of the show, the writing of the show, the tone of the show. I mean, Andrea Romano,
yeah.
And yep. You got to work with her on Batman Beyond.
We
yeah,
have to have
she's
her on
first.
The show.
She cast me first. Yeah, she
we
will
have
be coming
to because she's
She'll
mentioned
be
in
on.
Every single episode.
She will be
so
coming
far.
On.
It's amazing. I think I was one of the last people to work with her before she went into retirement.
Really,
and that was on Puss in Boots.
Yeah,
that was the first time I was ever nominated for an Emmy. Was because
she
of that.
She can pull it out of you. There's
I know
she's a just an insanely talented woman.
She was one of the first people I started working with. when I was doing the Ricardo Montalban impression on El Tigre, The Adventures of Manny Rivera, and I was so green, like greener than Kermit the Frog's snot. like, I mean, and that's green.
Yeah.
With chunks in it. But she said, I don't know what happened to you. Like, you know, in a year or two, like, just...
Now, what does that mean? I don't know what happened to you. What did she mean? I'm curious what she meant by that.
You sucked, then you got better.
But is that what she meant? I mean, is that what she meant? That
yeah,
you could...
No, I believe so. It was like, you know, and that's the best policy, really.
I can't ever see you sucking at this.
Well, yeah, I mean, walk it back. So how did you fall into voice work?
Going from, and I'm going
to
say...
PA.
That's right. See, this is where we're going back to where we started, trying to get back to this
there's
going to
be so many beginnings to this show.
That's the greatest. That's what we love.
We love beginnings.
It was like maybe one of the last jobs I worked in animation was actually on El Tigre at Six Point Harness. So I was working as a character layout artist. So I would be the guy that I would take a storyboard and I would flesh out poses of these characters, final poses, and then those poses would get animated by somebody else.
I'm sorry, stop very quickly. Flesh out, does that mean you're doing the color or?
I'm doing like the full, like, so a storyboard would be the rudimentary, crude, like it could be a stick figure of, you know, Kim Possible, like in this pose,
right.
I would be the guy that would do the final pose of Kim Possible.
Like full on draw it out.
Like
and
full
it,
out
cool,
character.
Cool, cool.
And then someone would take like six drawings of mine and then in between them. So they would animate.
Right.
Like those six
the
solid
magic.
Poses.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that actually, the job that I do now is actually quite glorified. I don't even think that exists anymore in TV animation because the storyboard artists now practically animate
on computers.
But like, I mean, they still like hand draw, like
sure.
Even though it's digital.
Right.
But I'm saying it's like they, if you've seen a Family Guy animatic, which is the voice with the storyboard, it's like the thing's animated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because,
you're basically done.
Yeah. So when they ship it overseas or wherever it goes to get animated, there's nothing really lost in translation.
Right.
There's not a lot of room for error at that point.
Yeah.
You're not going to be doing like a lot of retakes, you know.
Sure.
Again, I'm a nerd and you guys are like,
retakes? No, yeah,
I always got it in
like,
one, so I didn't understand what you're talking
until
about.
He stops talking.
Exactly.
And then
we can talk
to him about Batman again.
I don't know retakes.
But yeah, I was going to say that was like the last job that I did because I had auditioned for Jorge Gutierrez and his wife, Sandra Ikiwa. They created El Tigre.
Mm-hmm.
They also just did Maya and the Three for
Wait
Netflix.
A second. So you're animating the show and you auditioned to be on the show?
Yeah, I had auditioned to be in the pilot for El Tigre. And
did they know that you did voices and you were you trying to find a way in?
So Jorge, the creator of the show, was like, you have to do this. I want you to do voices on this. I think you're great.
Because you have a really magical talking voice, too.
It's weird.
But I'm just still thinking about you. So you're animating the thing.
Yeah.
At that point, that was it. I was like, I had got on the show. Nickelodeon really did try to not hire me because they're like,
okay.
Is this guy a psychopath? Who is this person? Like, he's never, I don't see any credits. I don't know who he is.
Right.
He's not even American.
His uncle gave
he's
him a
Canadian.
Pencil.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. His crazy uncle kept sending him newspaper clippings.
We don't hold it against you that you're Canadian for the record.
No, well,
most
you know.
Of us.
I love like, Canada. I got married in Canada.
Really?
Yeah, at Banff.
Really? Wow, mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Very, very nice.
Yeah.
That's where I got divorced.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding with you. I'm just kidding.
That's a beautiful
I've
place
never
to get
been married.
Too.
So there you go. How could I get divorced? If I was never
if
married.
I was never married.
So, yeah, I got on the show. We had been recording episodes, and it was just one of those things where I was like, well, this is it. I'm going to be on a show. This is going to go on for 30 years
exactly.
Like The Simpsons.
I already bought my house.
And I started talking like John Lovitz at that point. And after I quit my job, they canceled the show. And I was like, damn it. And I went crawling back to animation.
Oh, really?
And I was like, well, this is awkward. Because I just quit and I told everyone to F themselves as I left the building. No, I'm just kidding.
For family, everyone.
Yeah,
exactly. F for family.
That's like
friendly.
Yourselves,
that is
everyone.
The George Costanza. Like, yeah. That you just showed up back to work the next day and pretended it didn't happen.
Yeah,
right.
I was like, what are you talking about, guys? I never left. No, Six Point Harness, one of the best animation studios in Hollywood. They do lots of stuff for Adult Swim, Nickelodeon, obviously, and
sure.
Cartoon Network. But they were always encouraging toward me chasing my dream as a voiceover artist.
Oh, that's nice.
They knew. They're like, you're actually so much more better at voices than you're at drawing. So,
oh, no.
So please leave.
Which should tell you something because you're pretty good at drawing,
yeah.
Too.
Well,
so,
thanks, guys.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Let's be
honest.
You
do own an original.
I do. Actually, you know where I think I own another original? If I'm not wrong, didn't you draw a picture on my bathroom wall? Yeah,
I
so
did.
I own another original.
And I think I drew belly bag.
You did.
It was a fanny pack.
You did.
Is this a party that you had at your house?
Yes. So I have a bathroom in my house off the theater that we just have pens in, and anybody who has movie quotes can just write on the wall. You write up all your favorite movie quotes, so it's just covered in movie quotes.
Yeah.
And Eric came over.
Because you have friends. See, you do have friends.
Well, I hired most of them.
Oh, okay.
It was Eric and a bunch of paid extras. And then
I
walked in,
and
there's
Mitch
all these. Yeah, I've got my exactly Mitch, and was that for that was that Transformers?
Transformers?
It was a Transformers party.
Yeah,
and I've got I've got an original Bowser on my wall.
That's
my bathroom,
cool,
which is very very cool. Yeah. So,
but going back to animation, I found out that shows don't last forever. I clearly was wrong, and I went back, and I actually, without any leads at that point, the show had been canceled. I quit again and was like, this is it. This is the kind of leap of faith that you might have to take to force yourself to start booking.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you have an agent?
I did.
You did? Okay.
I did. Cynthia McLean.
Okay.
At SBV.
Okay.
Still my agent.
Great.
So that was the kind of like thing that I needed to do, the fire that you have to light under yourself to kind of be
take
better.
Take that next step. Yeah.
And, you know, work with people like Andrea Romano, and then 2 years later...
We've been told a lot, and we tend to agree with this, is that the acting part of it kind of comes into play. It's not just that you have the voice nailed.
Right.
Do you think that maybe in that year and a half that you kind of like something...
Is that what it was?
Well, I mean, you know, you start going into rooms. I think the first really gigantic big cast that I was a part of after that was Ben 10 Omniverse.
Mm-hmm. That was in
yeah.
there, I think.
And, yeah.
An episode or two, I think. Yeah.
And then you're sitting in a room with people like Bumper Robinson and Tara Strong and Yuri Lowenthal and Jeff Bennett and Rob Paulson and John DiMaggio. And you're just like, oh, my God.
Like the imposter syndrome sinks in a little bit.
Yeah,
I still get it. I still get it.
And I'm talking about that one of the first Cartoon Network studio rooms where we were actually three people on a mic. So
wow.
That is really
intimidating.
Can you imagine
being in a room and you're sitting on the floor and you're like listening to, you know, Yakko Werner and Johnny Bravo have a conversation in dueling Don Knotts voices, but still being able to pull off a scene that makes you want to cry.
Yeah.
In goofy voices. So that's the kind of thing that you're like, well, I got the goofy voices down, and I still have a Canadian accent.
Do you?
No.
I was going to say. No.
Only when I go back.
Do you really?
And
you
then
pick
like,
it up again?
I slowly start sounding like the McKenzie brothers from SCTV.
Take off,
there's an A.
Yeah, oh my God. But yeah, it was kind of like being in those kind of big rooms, you're kind of just like, man, it's not just about the voices.
Right. You got to level up.
It's about the acting.
Yeah.
And the voices will come later.
Yeah.
If they need you to be wacky. You could definitely show your range by being completely off the charts, but you got to be able to be reeled back if they need you to be.
But you also have to admit, there are very few actors like yourself that have the combination of the two. Because I think there are some people that can act and can't do a whole bunch of voices. I think I'm a decent actor. I can't do 50 voices. I've never been able to do that. And then there's people that can do a whole bunch of voices, but
until,
maybe aren't that great as an actor.
I gotta say, though, until maybe you're asked to. Or be pushed to.
I've done it a couple times, but not to that extent. Not to that. I mean, there's some people, I mean, again, the marriage of being able to do the number of voices that you do with the acting talent is pretty.
We could do it right now on your show. We could break down a character like Bugs or Tweety and see if we could get you guys close to that voice, if you'd like.
Oh, man, I'm down for anything.
How could you? Could you? You honestly think you could teach us right here to break down a voice like Bugs or Tweety?
Yeah,
let's go. All
okay,
right. I'll do Tweety. You do Bugs.
Let's both try. Let's both try.
It's funny because for me, they kind of live in the same. I say a lot of Mel's voices live in the same house, just in different parts of the house.
Okay,
so I'd say Bugs lives on like the second floor, closest to the attic where Tweety lives. Tweety lives in the top floor because he's
all the way up here, white, and he has a weird affectation, like a baby kind of voice.
Yeah.
But I honestly feel also, by the way, that they pitch the hell out of that voice. They pitch it up.
Pitching, for people that may not know, is when they digitally go in and kind of tweak.
Yeah.
And you think they're doing that for you
higher.
As well?
They have to, yeah. But even before digital, when they were on 3/4-inch tape for Mel, they would pitch it up. Did you know that Daffy's voice is actually Sylvester's voice, but pitched up?
No.
Yeah.
Same voice?
Wow.
So I'm gonna shield you from my saliva, and Sylvester is a big, floppy, hungry cat that always wants to eat that canary. But if you just change the attitude to "you're despicable," like in yeah. that same arena, and pitch that voice up,
now
it just becomes Daffy. But when I do Daffy, it's the self-pitched version.
Right.
So you don't have to do it. My version of Daffy is Richard Dreyfuss with a lisp.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Bob, I'm on vacation.
Yeah.
All this little shark Mr. Vaughn wants to do is eat and make little baby sharks.
Wow.
It really is a miracle of life. Yeah.
It's just Jaws. All Jaws quotes.
Jaws quotes.
With a lisp. But let's try Bugs. If you could start, you know, by just
almost putting your voice here.
Almost putting your voice here.
Yeah, and kind of start pushing it towards your nose.
Kind of start pushing it towards your nose.
And then start doing like a New York Brooklyn type accent.
And then do like a New York Brooklyn type accent.
And it becomes your version of Bugs or a very spot on Joe Pesci. You see?
Yeah,
you see what I mean though?
But so like, you gotta, it's up here a little bit. I mean, it doesn't sound like Bugs at all to me.
And it doesn't sound like you at all to me.
But,
no, which is amazing.
Interesting. Cool.
So it's just kind of changing where you put the stuff. But then if you add the lisp, like we're talking about.
Now stop doing the New York.
Okay.
And right. Stay here. Now start talking like with a baby accent, like I ta-da-ta-putty-tat. And then you take that and you pitch that up and it becomes Tweety.
Oh, this is crazy.
This is the coolest podcast
this is
ever.
Crazy. But now are you
so
do
now
you
can change that so from cool. I hear voices to I do voices.
I do voices.
Oh,
but again,
I love it.
I am. So we heard another interesting thing, which was somebody said, don't like try to do the character. Don't try to do somebody doing the character.
Right.
So it's like, you know, I don't want to do Eric Bauza doing Bugs Bunny.
Right, yeah.
I want to try to do Bugs Bunny. But at the end of the day, isn't that just then trying to do Mel Blanc?
Kind
of,
yeah. I talked about this in a recent interview where it's like, even growing up as a kid, you know, when Mel Blanc passed away, it was pretty sad. And I was like, you know, I was just a kid. I was sad enough to understand, like, what that meant. But I was still like, okay, like, moving past what he did in the original 40-year run of Looney Tunes, watching like all the stuff come out in the 80s, where it wasn't him. Like I knew that.
Right.
But I could still appreciate who was doing the voices. So like
I got that with the Muppets.
Yeah.
I got that. I really got that when Jim Henson passed. I got that kind of
Steve Whitmire.
But you have a day or two of that's not Jim Henson.
Right.
And then you kind of go, okay, it's not Jim Henson. Like,
but it's still the Muppets, and they mean something to you.
But I still like the character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can appreciate what that person is bringing to the table. And
you've been Muppets too, haven't you?
Ah, yeah, Waka Waka.
Fozzie Bear.
Fozzie.
Yeah. I thought you were going to swear.
No.
Fozzie. Yeah. Every time I stub my toe.
Do you maintain, I mean, we've talked about our voices getting thrashed before, but I mean, you've got to, how do you prepare for a session?
Well,
and then how
clearly
do you...
I don't go to the gym. As you can see, because there are cameras
everywhere. Vocal gym.
My vocal gym is watching Looney Tunes like an hour a day.
Really?
Yeah. I watch it with my son. I'll watch at least, I wouldn't say an hour, but like four shorts, like almost every day.
And are you working along with it or no?
I mean, I'm just listening.
That's it. So it is. You're just listening along and that's your
But then I'll be
training.
Like, you know, say, little fella, where are you off to? South Pole? And then I'll look at like my son and he's like, yeah, okay.
Like he's harshest like, critics.
Yeah, yeah.
Harshest.
Yeah. When you we're at the schoolyard, you know, at the park, I'm like, you know, like classic dad on his phone on the bench, and he's like, "Dad, come over here and do the voice," you know, and then I do it, and then he's like, "Okay, go away."
Yeah, but that's the thing. I mean, can you imagine where it's like, and now Johnny, who do you have? This is my dad. He works at a bank.
Yeah.
Okay, good career day. And this is my dad, Eric Bauza. Yeah. He does the voices of everything. I mean, can you imagine that?
I can only imagine, honestly.
So there is a question I've wanted to ask, and you brought up your son. What is story time like?
Yeah,
in the
I was
going to
say the same thing. You must be a great.
We do the characters. We do as many different things as possible. It is fun.
It's awesome.
It is
That's
fun.
What he's trying,
it's trying
it's
to say.
Amazing.
You said we were talking before. Your son is a big Star Wars fan.
He is.
So are you doing all the Star Wars characters for him as he's reading stuff playing with the toys?
Yeah,
and, I mean,
we spent about a good solid hour yesterday playing with our Ghostbusters toys and.
You know, I was trying to do my best Dan Aykroyd, you know, impression. Not even like the Frank Welker race dance, but Gozer the Gozerian. You know, I was doing like the whole
wow.
speech. And yeah.
Every time.
Who does your taxes?
Someone asks if you're a god, you say yes.
Yeah.
But anytime I do Bill Murray, it's just Garfield. Yeah. It's,
so you're
it's
big,
Lorenzo
you're
music.
Big fan of Ghostbusters, you and your son.
Big
I'm
time.
Actually a huge fan of Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Big that time. New Ghostbusters was fantastic.
Did you like it?
I haven't seen it yet. I loved it.
Is it good? It's Paul Rudd, isn't it, right?
Yes.
I heard it's good. I like him. So.
Please go see it.
Okay.
Please.
How many voices were you in that?
Zero. And they had an opportunity. Well, where was... Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I was going to say. Well, thanks for ruining that. Thanks, everybody. Next time I'm going to find out Darth Vader's Luke's... What?
It's not like they could kill his character off.
Actually, don't think it was Slimer. Exactly. I'm sorry. I don't think it was Slimer.
Don't try to...
Go watch it, please.
I'm going to go watch it.
Talk about it.
You know, apparently the original script was written so well for Bill Murray that in the entire film, and they won't say which one, there's only one line he ad-libbed in the entire film. Every other line Bill Murray said in the original Ghostbusters was scripted for him.
Wowie.
And that's pretty impressive when it's Bill Murray.
Yeah.
When the lines are written so well that...
Go check out the blooper reel. They have multiple takes of so many of those classic scenes that we all know.
Okay.
And it's like, it's pretty funny to see what, aside from what we all know, the alternate versions of the things that, you know, of these well-known scenes are out there that are now like, because, you know, they cracked open the vault. And,
yeah. You're a big nerd with that stuff, though, aren't you? Like I am. With film
and
TV.
What's your nerddom?
Yeah.
Your biggest nerddom.
Man, it's a tough one. I'd say Ghostbusters is number one, and then like...
Ghostbusters is number one, really?
Ghostbusters
is like my number two.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, what's your number one?
Well, I don't know if I know as much as you, but I'm passionate about Ghostbusters. And I cried. Like, even my husband who was sitting next to me.
Oh my gosh.
When I watched this last movie,
okay,
I was
don't
crying.
Give it away. Oh my God, don't give it away. Now I have to go see it.
It wasn't at any particular point.
I was just crying the entire time.
As soon as the lights went dim in the theater.
No, as soon as they started the music. Like, the music of it was amazing.
That's actually pretty interesting you say that because, you know,
I'm a nerd.
That was a big aspect.
Cool.
They were going for, they actually just, you know, note for note, almost took the entire original score of the first one.
Which was a phenomenal score.
Elmer Bernstein, who also did like American Werewolf in London.
Crazy
stuff. It was, you know, that's such nostalgic music that it becomes a character on its own.
It was absolutely important for that. They honored that, and they didn't honor it in the movie before, which maybe we don't need to talk about.
And they didn't honor it in the movie after the first one, Ghostbusters 2.
The
original. It was more like 80s synth.
You know why? Because I think Beverly Hills Cop had come out, and that theme song from Beverly Hills Cop was so popular.
Oh, wow.
And it was all synth that they went, that's the way we've got to do. You know, now that's what it's got to be
from
now
on. Very interesting.
And then they did, what was it with Bobby Brown that he did the second?
Yeah, he did one of the songs in it, and then Run DMC.
And then Run DMC did it. So they were kind of, I think, going more hip-hop, but also more synth, because that was the big thing at the time.
Yeah.
And it changed the whole soundtrack, which then kind of changes the whole vibe of the film. I mean, it really does. People don't realize how important soundtracks are. But again, also in animation. I mean, you go back
and
you watch some of the original Warner Brothers stuff.
Well, going back to if we're going to go back to Looney Tunes, Stalling, but if we're going to go Batman, it's like, Danny Elfman.
Yeah.
You know?
And Batman the Animated Series, too, with the full orchestral soundtrack on an animated show, which we talked about with Kevin, just changed everything.
Yeah.
Danny Elfman was involved in that?
No. Danny Elfman did the
original
Batman movie.
But
I think he did the theme song, no?
He did the theme song from Batman the Animated Series.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I think it was Christopher Carter, I think, did Beyond. Did that awesome kind of
very
nutsy one from Beyond. Yeah. Very, very kind of
very
cool.
Modern.
But it does. Can change the whole vibe of something, the music that you bring in.
Absolutely.
And
like
you
with
see
Looney
that in
Tunes,
animation, too.
There are some shorts where they're not even talking. Like Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like all music.
Yeah, absolutely. And Fantasia.
Right.
I mean, look at the scenes in Fantasia. You know, it's Mickey Mouse cutting stuff up, and you just got the orchestral score underneath it, and I don't think he said a word in Fantasia, did he?
For the most part.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's...
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, it's just that music can do that, so...
And also, too, it can link, generationally, the characters.
Right.
So even if your son can tell the difference between your Bugs Bunny and Mel's Bugs Bunny, the music can still hold the structure together.
Yeah.
Even if it's that nuance.
Well, especially with Looney Tunes cartoons, which is the one that I'm in for HBO Max, they are like, if you listen to that,
It's the whole score. It's scored. This
quite amazingly scored to like full orchestra.
That's awesome.
Probably for the first time in a very long time.
That's you know, you get that, you know where you get that in a huge, huge way is the Star Wars universe.
Oh my god.
You know, Luke walks on screen, even if it's in episode whenever, if it was episode 4 where we first see him, or, you know, it's one of the newer films, and the Luke Skywalker theme starts.
I was going to say, are you watching the new stuff?
I've been watching
the new stuff. Are you watching Book of Boba Fett? Or
I have not. I didn't watch Boba Fett. I haven't watched Boba Fett yet. I watched Mandalorian.
Yeah.
I think once I got what it was, once I figured out it was the A-Team, then I was fine with it.
Right.
You know, it took me a while to get to that mental space because I was just like, oh, he keeps showing up in a town. He's got to solve a crime. And then, oh, it's the A-Team. It's like, okay, once I got there, then I was like, now I can enjoy it because I'm not trying to Star Wars it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, there's, I'm also, I'm a lot of times a big fan of less is more. So when there's 62 Star Wars shows in the making, it's kind of like, okay.
Do you feel like we're living in that there's too much stuff out there?
I do.
Like, so far we were like, have you seen that? And you're like, nope.
Never even heard of that. Yeah. It's like,
I'm too busy living life.
Yeah. Like, if we have to do something in the house, if you want to see my wife have an instant, like, anxiety attack, take her to, like, Tile World. Where there's like 10,000 samples, and she's like, I know, I can't.
Yeah.
She's like, I need two samples in front of me. I need to pick from this one or this one.
And that's
what I have to do.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like that's what it's getting like with content.
With
where
shows.
There's just too much coming.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And I'm like, who's making all this stuff?
Like, and yet none of my friends can sell anything,
right.
Which is the part that I love, where it's like everybody's got content, but no one's buying.
That's true.
So it's very, very strange. So all... In everything you've done, all the stuff you've done, all the stuff you've watched, everything, favorite animated character of all time?
Oh, man. Favorite animated character of all time.
Whether you've done the part or not.
I mean, I'm going to have to fall back on Bugs Bunny. Only because, you know, for me, he was, you know, so iconic in everything that he's ever done and ever appeared in. And I always thought, even especially after... You know, and if it's not Ghostbusters for me, maybe the next one down might be Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
As far as like one of the greatest movies ever made, for being a cartoon nerd or nut, and just seeing like these characters exist in real life with people, you know.
I want to go watch that now.
You ready for me to ruin our podcast?
Oh, you don't like Roger Rabbit?
Ruin our whole world?
You don't like Roger Rabbit?
I've never seen Roger Rabbit.
Well,
but that's good. We can change that.
I've never seen Roger Rabbit.
You know what?
That's
we should do a very special episode where
we will
find a theater.
Who voiced Roger Rabbit?
Charles Fleischer, who is a stand-up comic.
Okay.
If you've seen the documentary on how they made that film, I mean, he basically came to set every day dressed up as the character, like maybe the first ever evidence of a cosplay ever.
Wow.
He would just
call it method acting.
Yeah, yes. He was basically in character on set all the time to be there to provide the voice. I'm sure that was like later on.
That's kind of awesome though, yeah.
But to be there to be that character, which is kind of impressive.
And that would be your second nerddom, you think? Your second, if you're going down a tier.
Yeah, because, I mean, it had almost all the best cartoon characters ever made in one world. Like,
so cool.
I actually own an animation cell of the parachute scene where it's Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny on screen at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I remember that.
Okay, yeah. So now I got to see it because I didn't.
Please see it.
I thought I
wasn't the nerd.
No, I never saw it. There's a lot of stuff I've never seen, which I probably should.
Well, because at that time you were probably busy working.
Yeah, but it was also, you know, so my best friend in the world, Jason Marsden.
Yes,
that was like his favorite movie ever, and I'm not sure I ever. I think I'd always just smile and be like, "Yeah, awesome," and never admitted to him like I've never actually seen this movie.
Oh, that would be so great.
Wait, so two teenage boys didn't just like sit together and like watch like.
Be very careful where you're going with what you're saying.
Watch. Anyone could edit anything at that point.
Because there a way you could have said that without starting with two teenage boys. I don't know why that took it to
that
a strange
was the whole,
place.
It was meant to. Like, of course you guys didn't sit down and watch Roger Rabbit together.
But why not? Marsden and I would sit down and watch stuff together all the time. It's like our favorite thing. The most fun to this day I've ever had in a movie theater was opening night of Showgirls in Burbank.
And well, it was I mean,
Jason
of course,
and I
two
and Showgirls.
Teenage boys
no,
are
it
sit
was
down
just because
Showgirls.
After the first line, like literally, I'll never forget this. She pulls a knife on a guy and she goes, "Chill." And somebody in the audience went, oh,
no.
And it became Mystery Science Theater at that point. Just, it was no holds barred. Just everyone for the rest of the
that
movie
reaction,
it was
just
like the
throwing
room.
Stuff at the screen.
Oh, no.
That was just, oh, and that was it. And then we all just started throwing out lines for the whole movie.
Oh,
it was
my
so
God.
Much fun.
I missed that experience.
And it was so much fun.
I had that experience once again, except when I watched the Ghostbusters movie. Not to go back to that. And I was probably the only person living that experience and speaking in.
Oh, really? In the
which
lingo?
One? The new one?
I can't. Oh, yes. Yeah. So the new one, I went on a date night with my husband, which I never do. And we went to one of those fancy places that you can kick up the chair.
Sure.
And like the eat fancy the fancy places. Nachos.
They had the nacho, the queso dip, and the kick up your feet.
Oh, you know when you have children places. When that becomes the fancy place.
It's been 2 years. It was 2 years. I hadn't seen a movie because of lockdown and everything.
Classic.
I haven't seen a movie in. You know, in the theaters. So I was like, Mama's going out tonight. Okay. So then we're there and it starts and the music starts. And I'm like,
you're
crying.
Oh.
See?
My husband's like, shh, shh. And I was like, and I swear to God, I turned to him. I was like, don't you take this from me.
Yes, yes.
I swear. I was
Did
like,
you
don't
just
you
shush me
in Ghostbusters
afterwards?
Up for the fancy place tonight.
My feet are fully reclined.
Fully reclined. I want the hot dog and the nachos.
Exactly.
We are going out tonight.
Yeah, we got to watch it.
Oh, my. All right. Well, this is a perfect place to get us to a fun segue that we have right now. It's called Throw Things at Eric. No.
That was too fast. I feel like you were
waiting. She's been waiting to grab this.
I know how to throw things fast.
I took the heavy stuff away from
your shoes.
I took the heavy stuff away from
I come from a long line of shoe-throwing moms.
Wow, that's classic. That's classic.
I have so many questions. A long line of shoe-throwing moms. Anyway.
Yeah. Your mom didn't throw a shoe at you
the original title of this show.
Wait a second. Not only did she throw a shoe, but you were driving at the time?
No, she was driving. I think me and my siblings were in the back fighting, and so she'd take
She would
shoe.
Reach down while operating a motor vehicle to remove her shoe wear to throw it at you?
Moms
That's
are
brilliant.
Magic.
Moms are magic.
Moms are magic.
Oh,
moms
she's are crying like we're watching Ghostbusters.
Moms are Batman.
Moms
that sounds like a Batman move. That's
apparently. It's, and it was a stick shift, too.
Jackie
that was the
Chan,
thing that was amazing.
Like, Jackie Chan's got nothing on your
Unbelievable. So while we are not quite there yet, we will be for the next round, because we're building up everything we have to do. Eventually, I Hear Voices is going to be fully interactive.
Okay.
So what we're going to have, which is kind of cool, is we're going to have a big screen here, and kids from all across the country, adults as well, are going to be able to Skype in, Zoom in, and talk to their favorite voiceover actors, but also show us their own personal artwork and have the best voiceover actors in the world put a voice to the characters that they've created.
Excellent, excellent.
So while we couldn't do it fully interactive this time, Christy, that's the lady who you can throw a shoe at right here.
No, I'll catch it with my hand. That's
she
the other
will,
thing I'm
she's
good
She's mom
at.
Now, so she's magic.
Yes.
And
she went on her social
that's
media,
what I'm afraid of.
And we had got a stack of original art from kids and people from across the country.
Okay.
And we were hoping that you could grab one or two at random,
or
and we're going to talk about the person who sent it. We've had some from some six-year-olds, some eight-year-olds, some adults
some
have sent in some stuff.
20-somethings,
And you are going to be put a voice, if you would, entertain us to whatever characters you pick.
So this is like a blind bag Russian roulette.
With no gunfire.
With the safe version of Russian roulette.
Exactly.
Oh, boy. Here
okay.
we go.
Now, it should say on the top who it is and what their name is. Is there a backstory to this picture, Elizabeth? Because sometimes they have
There
it.
Is a backstory. That's a person for sure that submitted the drawing. At
This was submitted at 6:48 a.m.
Okay, she said, so this is Yuki.
Yes.
Yuki's personality is that she's bubbly.
Yes.
And people trick her easily because she's not very street smart.
She's okay. Christy.
It just kind of looks like if I were a character.
You guys have almost the same hairstyle.
Yeah, I know.
You need to get, the bangs.
See the
shot
eyes,
of
the
Yuki.
Nose.
We got it. We're all set. Okay.
So we got Yuki. And if Yuki were a character, I mean, I might not be able to qualify for this because if
we'll see if you're going to get cast.
You know, you never know. I know things are very political these days.
Eric, you pitch your voice through your nose.
Yeah, if you push it forward.
Well, okay, so again,
Yuki's
is very bubbly.
Yeah.
And can get tricked easily.
Not street smart.
And
very
how old is
smart.
The kid that drew this again? Like, I think it's like a 12-year-old kid or something.
Okay. It's 10 years old.
Kid.
And
oh, 10.
Evie, correct?
Oh, Evie.
So this comes from Evie.
Perfect. Thank you so
She's
much
10
for,
years
for
old.
Submitting, Evie.
And I'd have to say that if Yuki could talk, maybe, you know, maybe Yuki might sound like this, you know? She kind of has that weird, that cat mouth that kind of has, like, to me, like, if you're looking at a drawing, the physicality always helps you kind of find a voice.
Sure.
And if she is very, you know, bubbly, but... I don't know.
Wait a second. Why is Yuki a girl? Is Yuki a girl for sure?
I think Yuki could be whatever.
Could
Yuki
be a boy.
Yeah.
Well, then if it were a boy, he would probably still sound like this because I'm not that creative.
Yeah, you're not creative, Eric.
You know, bubbly? I don't know. Would a bubbly person be that susceptible to
Yes, look
tricks?
At me. This is me. Let me just take this character. It's me, basically.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, then maybe if Yuki's a boy and a little bit more high energy, like, it might sound like this.
There you go.
So wait, what you're saying is that I haven't been drinking water?
Yeah, that would be my Yuki.
Yay!
So we'll do another.
Okay. It might be a cat.
We've got a lot of cat submissions.
There's a lot of cat lovers out there.
A lot of cat submissions.
I was on a show called Unikitty.
You were on Unikitty. Christy didn't realize that when she posted all this on National Cat Day, which is why a lot of people sent it in. That's true.
Here's a character. I believe this was based off of me. This is what I look like when I put on my 80s sweats and I'm at the gym.
Who is that? Is that from
Sam?
By
the way, that's a lie right away because I don't go to the gym.
This is from Sam.
This is from Sam.
She created the logo.
Sam created the logo for your show.
For us.
And this character's name is, do we know the name? This is a nameless rabbit.
And maybe he kind of sounds like this. You know, he always has the giggles all the time. And he wants to work out, but he's never going to get around to it. Because he is a bit round himself. I don't know what we could name him. What would you guys name this guy?
He kind of looks like a Sanrio type character, like a Hello Kitty. Like he could live in the Hello Kitty universe.
I could see that.
Like Bunny Boy or
Wow.
Hey
Bunny
there,
Boy.
Bunny Boy.
Hey there, Bunny Boy.
Well, we clearly know who the antagonist is.
Eric, that's your screen name.
Hey there, Bunny Boy.
Bunny Boy.
I always see as having just a regular name like Randy.
I like
Don't
that.
You think? It's
I
just like that's Randy.
This is Charles.
Yeah. This is Charles
Darwin
the Third.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. But for me, I don't know why he kind of sounds like this. And it could be maybe lent to like that Seth Rogen type giggling. But
okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks like he's being thrust into the air by maybe he's had too many carrots and he's got a lot of gas.
I just saw him. I figure he was just hit by a tennis racket.
Oh my gosh.
And maybe, he's flying away.
Maybe he's a tennis ball bunny.
That's what it
maybe
is.
Maybe he could be like colored like a tennis ball.
I like that.
Yeah. Oh, a yellow one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
But I do like this character design. Very, 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 very.
Thank you, Eric. Sam.
Yes.
And thank you, Eric. It has truly been an honor to have you here.
Well, I had no fun at all.
Yeah. So this is, by the way, this was exactly apparently what it was like when she was at the fancy place watching Ghostbusters.
Please don't say the fancy place. I almost drowned.
The fancy place.
Listen, by the way, is your vocal cords, are they insured?
I'm not Celine Dion. If you thought you were talking to Celine today.
I did.
You're wrong.
Okay, well, she has a Canadian French accent.
She is.
Cutting out all the Titanic questions. There we go.
I was not present for Leo or Kate on the set of my very bad.
Titanic.
Yeah.
I was not present.
That was your Celine Dion.
No,
Dion
I was
impression.
Not here.
That's very good.
Wow.
Oh my God.
She's very intense.
Wow. Intense.
She's very intense. Hello, it's me. Hello, it's me, Celine Dion.
When did this? Why did you wait till the end?
I'm actually really modest.
You
about
gotta start with
going
Celine.
Bold.
You know that's the sign of a good host, though.
Thank you.
You're making it
she
about
let
you,
you
look like you could do some stuff, and then jumped in and showed you voice work. That's the way. That's what Christy does.
So yeah, I mean, clearly, like
I'm.
She's never happy with herself.
I hope someone mentions Celine today.
We've been waiting for this every guest. She's like, you think they're going to mention Celine Dion?
She's
I'm like, I don't
know.
Did Let's you send see if him we can the, get there organically.
Did you send him the subliminal message email where every other word is Celine or Dion?
Exactly, just in case.
Your limo driver is named Dion.
Dion is coming to pick you up.
Yeah.
He'll be Celine-ing against a car. Yeah. No, too far? Anyway. Eric,
oh my God.
I don't even know what to say. It's been an honor honor to have you on here.
It's been a blast.
You are the most talented human being working today. I'm convinced of it.
I'm honored to be in the presence of such fine actors and hosts, and congratulations, and I wish you guys
you're
the best.
Welcome.
Thank you.
They're going to pick this up for many seasons.
We don't know. We literally were canceled halfway through.
All right.
Where can we find you?
Yes, this is important.
Right here.
In the fans.
In this downtown. Actually, can you guys leave? This is my apartment, you guys.
I know a lot of people actually really like our place. They want to live here.
It's a cool pad, right?
But I'm assuming we can find you in the fancy place.
Yes.
And then also.
Eating nachos, pinkies up.
Eating pinkies up. Yeah. This caviar, subpar. I'm trying to watch
these
the new Ghostbusters.
Nachos are divine.
You do realize this is date night, Higgins.
Queso dip. The queso dip is quite divine.
I call it queso, but.
Queso.
This is a 92 icy. It's a good year.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Did you mix the cherry and the blueberry?
Of course I did. Yeah.
And you're on Cameo, or
yes,
right?
Yes,
okay.
Yes,
Cameo.
Doing all of Ken Jeong's work, by the way. Everyone keeps saying, "Give me a shout out from the Masked Singer host." And I'm like,
not me,
guys.
Are you Instagram?
Yes.
Twitter.
Everything is all at Bowzilla.
At Bowzilla.
I had to do something creative with my.
And
name.
Now we've only got 3 hours left. So what shows do you have coming up?
So no, I was like, so we're barely even halfway. I guess just HBO Max. There's lots coming from Looney Tunes that I wish I could talk about now that
sure.
I can't.
Sure.
But there's definitely some stuff coming that that
you will be very happy to hear from me again as this character.
And Space Jam is still out there. Go check out Space Jam
if
you haven't.
It's still out there.
Doing pretty darn good, Space
Jam. It's
doing
okay, I guess, you know? It's the little engine that could.
It is. It's like people really want to see this tiny little film.
You get a shoe company behind you, then anything's possible.
It tends to. Exactly. It's helpful. Let's be honest.
Helpful.
It's helpful.
It gets the word out.
I do have to bring these shoes back, by the way,
you
at a certain
do.
Time.
Exactly.
Like, you can wear them. You just can't have them.
You can't keep them.
They started beeping.
They
noticed.
Turn into pumpkins.
They do. They're
yeah.
not, nothing's for keeps. It's just for fun.
It's not for fun.
Eric
Bowza.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming and spending the time with us. We really appreciate
it. Thank you, Eric. We love you so much.
Please come back again. When we get fully interactive, come back again because we're going to have people chime in and they're going to love to talk to you.
I can't wait.
Which will be great. And don't forget, they say that youth is wasted on the young. Go prove them wrong. Thanks, everybody.
I Hear Voices is hosted by Wilfred Ell and Christy Carlson Romano. Produced by Elizabeth Joy Windham and executive produced by Brendan Rooney and Wilfred Ell. Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham. And our video editor is Eduardo Gamba. And that was my announcer voice.
Some side effects of listening to I Hear Voices are sore abs from hilarity, falling down the Cocomelon rabbit hole, sneezing due to mass nostalgia, and hugs.
Follow I Hear Voices wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss any of the amazing voices.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at I Hear Voices Podcast. To see the video stream, subscribe to my YouTube channel.
You can also check us out on MySpace, Omegle, Vine, LimeWire, AIM, and Napster.
Okay, Will, let's teach you about the internet.
The what?